Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast, and this is episode number 237. And joining me tonight is, out of Kentucky, RG Westerman. And this is
one of your loyal
co-hosts, Stephen Zimmer, out of Central Kentucky, of course. And joining us right on the hour, and I didn't know he was joining us tonight. I thought he would be still busy, taking care of the home front. But it looks like Daniel Dark is on board for tonight out of Tennessee.
Yay.
So
he is not here. I asked for 1 week off to take care of Mama, and you kicked me off the show. So,
I did not kick you off the show. I just didn't want to give you any stress while you're doing that, And I was like, no, I didn't want to oh, hey, Daniel, you got to be on the show this week.
Well,
I know you're trying to take care of your mom. We're such hard, driving people here. We're going to force you on the show no matter what. So, but thank you. I'm glad to have
I'm just.
well, do tell. How is your mother doing? Holly, give me a little update.
She is doing much better. She had me out driving her around this Tuesday. Last Sunday, she calls me up and goes, I'm having trouble breathing and my chest hurts. Can you come, see about me? I was like, get off the phone with me, call 911, get an ambulance there now.
Mm-hmm.
She's 93 years old. It ain't time to be playing around with me, taking 2 hours to get down there.
Right.
Well, I'm glad to hear that's a positive update. That's good to hear, and gives me a little bit of relief because I know it's definitely not been a positive year.
Thing that bugged me about is, after everything was said and done, nothing was said and done.
Yeah.
Nothing was said. Oh man. Well,
but you
Holly,
were driving in the dark.
Yeah, you. I love it. Say it again, RG. That's awesome. We got to do the movie now.
I said you were driving Miss Dark.
Yeah.
That's going to be the next movie we make.
She's sitting in the front. She's sitting in the back.
Yes. Of course, it'd be in a Victorian era carriage.
No, she sits right there in the front, right beside me when I'm driving her around. She does not sit in the back. She's like right there beside me. Telling me all the different places that she's wanting to go, which she decided she wanted to go vote. She wanted to go, drop off medicines at the police station. She wanted to go to the grocery store. Wanted to go to the bank. Wanted to go. And I'm like, you just got out of the hospital.
Well, she's been out of commission for a week. She's got to get caught up.
That's awesome.
But
in your case, it might not even be a car. It might be a carriage. Horse-drawn carriage.
Luckily,
when
we got to the library where her voting is, it was a 2.5 to 3 hour wait. And she looked at the line because the line went all the way outside, all the way down the parking lot, they wrapped the whole parking lot and was back up to the front of the building.
Mm.
Was where the end of the line was, and she saw all that. She's like, oh, I can't stand in that. I'm like, no, you can't. I will get you a write-in ballot, and you will do it that way if you're damn determined you're going to vote for this election.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's good. That there's so many options. That's a good thing.
Yeah. But how's everybody else's week going? Mine's going great.
Well, busy is the key word here, but Holly is getting slowly better, and I think that she will be able to do a show again next week, I'm hoping.
Good, good, good.
So we'll just keep fingers crossed that progress continues to be made, but she's getting to be her old fiery, loud self again, so I think she's getting a little better. And, God, I've been just mired in writing, editing, and layouts. That's been the three things that have consumed all the hours of my day this week. So this is, yeah, as I always say, this is my time to enjoy the creative world and visit and have fun. It's my break.
Well, I've been having to struggle and smoke cigars and drink different beverages. So that's been my struggles this week and everything. But I do it just because, you know, I love the patrons and stuff.
That's awesome. Well, we're gonna have a good one tonight. It's gonna be one heck of a good show. I'm very excited about tonight's guest for sure. But I do think we probably should go ahead and recognize our sponsors, because that's obviously
a
very important thing to do.
You keep wanting to do that every week. I don't understand.
I do. It's incredible. But see, I have even new material to bring you on both fronts, because I have new spots for both of our sponsors tonight, who are Sandy Lender and Past and Prologue Press. So I've got two new spots. So, yes, you get to hear their brand new October radio spots tonight. And we'll go ahead and start with Sandy Lender. Here we go.
It's exciting to find new creatives, which is probably why you listen to the Star Chamber Show with its cool lineup each week. Now, one of those creatives makes following her easy for you. Check out the Facebook page for fantasy author Sandy Lender and click on the pinned post to access her email form. She offers a free short story in exchange for your name and email, so you can receive the world's most infrequent newsletter. That means no spam. All you have to do is click on the top post at fantasy author Sandy Lender. She's made it easy for you. Now back to learning about this week's cool creative in the Star Chamber.
Now that's an excellent, excellent spot there, Sandy.
I like
Thank
that.
You very much.
That's
Thank you very
cool.
much.
That was great, Sandy. Appreciate it.
So sign up on that mailing list for Sandy Lender, folks. That's easy, and it's free. So, and the second sponsor for tonight is Past and Prologue Press. And this is the home of course, great books by the likes of Edale Lane, who also writes Melody Romeo. And here is the brand new spot from Past and Prologue Press.
Halloween is almost here. What will you be reading? The same old favorite you read every year? Or will you risk something new? When history meets horror, will evil prevail? Turn up the lights for terror in time. Ghosts, demons, zombies, ancient evils, and more, spanning nine eerie tales of the macabre and unexpected that will chill you to the bone. Available in ebook and paperback from Amazon.com.
There you go, and thank you very much, Past and Prologue Press. Great sponsors and two cool ads, and that one was had a bit of a Halloween vibe to it, which is very appropriate because that's end of next week, as a matter of fact, sneaking up on us, 9 days away. How about that? Of course, it'll feel.
Wow.
You know, I won't even know it's Halloween until kids start, you know, running through the neighborhood. If they do that this year, I'm not even sure if they are with the whole COVID stuff, but. I get so busy I even forget about those days too. but Holly is. I know Holly's going up to I think Indiana to do some a little bit. I think they are having some limited trick or treating with some precaution stuff. But
I think we're doing like an Easter egg style candy hunt in the backyard.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the rules are different this year. I think they're putting out like bowls just out front, and kids are just coming up, and it's kind of like honor system, which I would have loved when I was an 8-year-old, because I definitely would have made sure I got all the good stuff.
Yeah, just emptied the bowl into your.
Right. Well, I maybe would have been that bad, but make sure.
I saw something the other day that if I had known that this was an option, I would have probably moved into a bigger neighborhood, slingshotting the candy at the kids.
Yes, that's what I was going to say, is I'm looking for the slingshots, just sling, like, flinging candy bars at the kids as they walk by.
Do you remember the wrist rockets that you can go hunting with and stuff?
No, I don't, actually.
It's a hunting, you can get lead pellets and everything, you can hunt with them and stuff. They're heavy duty, like surgical tubing is the cord that's on it and stuff like that. Get one of those with a hard candy in it. Just put it right through the bag. And then you go collect all the candy that it, next morning that you piled up right there.
Yep.
You don't need that much, me.
Uh-huh.
Put someone's eye out.
Yeah, but you could. I never saw one of those when I was a kid. That's funny. Yeah.
But just shoot the next one right at the child and everything, just bam. mama, drops a candy bag and everything. You got, free candy.
That's too funny.
But that was one of the suggestions that the government came up with, was slingshotting the candy to the kids.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
thing.
I was just like,
oh,
if I had known that was an option.
Well, don't mess with Sandy Lender, because she evidently has one of those things. Funky rocket slingshot thingies. That's awesome.
Oh, that's awesome.
So she's ready. Sandy is ready.
Sandy, get you some of those Jolly Ranchers, those hard Jolly Ranchers. They'll fly good, I think.
We have, looks like, Carol Preflat is chatting in the chat room right now with Sandy, and it looks like Clayton Barnett is there, and welcome to other guests that have come into the chat room. So, yes, got an active chat coming so far. Awesome. Yes, I'm sure they will razz us mightily during the show. But
can I do a quick shout out?
Yes, no. Well, you can always do a shout out.
I want everyone to check out my son's Instagram. He just got on Instagram and he's doing toy action figure photography. It's called Gaming Toy Collector. It's like all one word. And he's already got like at least a dozen photographs on there of different like action sequences with his toys. So everybody go check out Gaming Toy Collector on Instagram. The end.
Awesome.
We used to do that with Barbie and G.I. Joe. Is that the same thing?
We'll make sure
I can't guarantee that. Probably not. No, he's still relatively young, so he hasn't.
I know I was six and seven, so it wasn't very. I wasn't I was pretty old and everything when I started doing that. So
yeah, okay.
That's awesome. He's going to be an influencer by probably, 2 weeks now. He'll be have 10 million followers.
Yeah.
What's that, Daniel?
Well, and he has a YouTube channel, too, that he's kind of promoting through there. It's called Just for Fun Toys and Gaming, and he does toy reviews and gaming and stuff like that. So.
Oh, cool. We'll have to have him check in on the show since I'm here.
He'll get so many hits on it and everything that he won't be able to count them all. We said that we're trying to do something for business and everything and can't get a hit.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all about the content. And I mean, he puts me to shame because he'll, we'll finish our schoolwork and everything. And he's like, okay, I'm going to go make videos. And I'm like, okay.
That's
and
awesome.
I'm like over here just trying to sit down for a minute.
He's making videos of them?
Oh, yeah. He does toy review videos and just all kinds of stuff. He's very creative. Yeah.
How old
Fantastic.
Is he now?
11.
That's awesome. Fantastic.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's well on the way. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations to him.
At 11,
awesome.
11 years old, by the time he's 13, he'll be a master at all that stuff that I don't have a clue about. you know, I do good to get a picture on Instagram most of the time.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, we monitor everything heavily. I mean, the number one question we get, you know, everyone's like, what about the perverts? And I'm like, what about the perverts? There's perverts everywhere. There's perverts at the schoolyard, too. So, you know, you just got to monitor.
Yeah, so you got to monitor.
And, you know,
right.
be a parent and be involved.
Yes.
And, you know.
That's the key.
Make sure that door is always open. And, yeah, I mean, we can't keep them in an ivory tower for their whole lives.
Right. No,
well, you can, but it becomes against the law at a certain point.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we'd like
our guest,
but, you know.
Well, tonight's guest is on deck, and so I think it'd be awesome to go ahead and bring this awesome guest into our conversation tonight and give you a little bit about
our
guest.
Are they sure that they want to come into this conversation tonight?
I'm pretty sure. We'll just hope for the best here. But our guest tonight will be discussing her debut novel, Butterfly Secrets, and in addition to her other writing and work as an international life and spiritual coach. And she's had a career working in the field of mental health and substance abuse prevention and has shared her experiences of grief and healing in published work on the well-known Elephant Journal. So we're going to have a fantastic visit tonight with a great discussion on these and other topics. And I am very proud and honored to bring aboard to the Star Chamber show for the very first time, G.L. Blackhouse. G.L., you are on the show and your mic is live. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me.
Hello.
Thank you, Stephen. I'm so excited to join
the
show tonight.
Thank you for coming to visit with us.
Yeah.
And yes, to answer your question, I'm excited to join the conversation.
Yeah, you got a we all got
we
a surprise tonight. We didn't know Daniel's
conversation here, so it.
Yeah, we didn't know Daniel would be joining us tonight till the last second here, so this is a surprise for you and for us, and it's wonderful. So yeah, we'll have a full roundtable tonight. Yeah, great to have
he
you on the show.
He tried to kick
and
me out of the club, and I showed up anyway. So he said, "I'll let you in this time."
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
That's how half the stuff in the world gets done, is you just show up and you're like, well, I'm here. And they're like, oh, okay, well, here, do this.
Yep. It's so true. And we'll get into it later, but GL also has some experience in the indie film world, and I know that she was thinking of the indie film world and when you said that just now. That's how life is in the definitely as filmmakers. Hey, so, hey, you're available? Okay, hold that boom pole.
Yep.
Absolutely.
That is awesome. But
you came
but I wanted to go ahead.
Yeah. You're free labor. Okay, get over here.
Right.
Exactly.
But
you
I want to go ahead and give
you
volunteered.
Okay, you did now.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I guess since you volunteered
ahead,
to be on the show tonight, we'll get you started by just go ahead and give folks just a brief, you know, I gave a few key points when I introduced you, but go ahead and introduce, you will start with your book and introduce Butterfly Secrets and give us a little bit about what it's about and writing it.
Okay, thank you. Well, Butterfly Secrets, actually, I sent it out about, well, it was actually written in 2015, and I sent it out to a lot of different publishers and editors, and I just kept getting, like, a lot of no's, and I was writing all these other things in between, and then I sent it out again in 2019, and that time, they just picked it up. Everything seemed to go together. I got on with the publishing company, House of Glamorgan. Everything moved pretty swiftly. We released it in April of this year. And basically what it's about is it's a girl who she flees the city to escape, like, her dysfunctional family, which we all can relate to at some point, and her gifts and her life there. And then she goes to, like, try to assume this new identity. She's trying to get away from, you know, the life she had. And she attempts to rid herself of not only her family but her past and her gifts. And when she does that, it brings her a tragic event happens at home. They call her back home. So that brings her face to face with the demons of her past and the family and the gifts that she's tried so hard to run from since her childhood. And when then she's back home, she's got to decide whether she wants to embrace her gifts and her family or if she wants to allow them to destroy her.
Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
The title was intriguing when he first said it.
Thank you.
I love the title. And it, without going any further, it was one of those type of things where just hearing the title, it gave me that type of resonance of what the book is actually about, which a lot of titles don't.
Correct. Yeah.
Thank you. It took a lot of thought over that. You know, I'm sure Stephen can relate as a writer. You go through a lot of different titles. You're in them by friends, editors, things like that until get the right one. Yeah.
Yeah, but you know it when you hit it, though. When that title comes up, you know it. It's sort of like a big white ding, big bell rings. But it's. I think Sandy Lender said it best, the chat room says, sounds like a beautiful poem. The title it does have a very poetic kind of vibe to it. That's what I thought too when I first saw the title of the book.
Thank you, Sandy. And it's it's weird that she says that because that's what I first started writing was poetry. So in my writing, even though you know I do write about tragedy, mystery, thriller, suspense, romance, kind of like the whole gamut of that, I like to have poems or like poetry in my writing, like to where it does sound poetic. So I love that she said that.
Yeah, because I know that's in your background is poetry as a writer. So that's nice. kind of bringing it all together here. And yeah, beautiful cover art, definitely. And we already got a question on the book from the chat room. Clayton asked, so the main character is completely at odds with her family. Did I hear that correctly?
She is trying to leave her past and the dysfunction of her past behind. She's trying to cut all ties with them. She moves to, like, Chicago, away from, like, the country life, changes her name, her identity, everything to try to escape that. And then when the tragedy hits, it brings her back home.
Very good. Very good.
Interesting.
And
thank you.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And, because when I was reading go ahead, Daniel.
What made you write this story?
Actually, Daniel, I would say, as a lot of writers, I'm sure Stephen can relate, I have a lot of stories within me. Some are halfway done, some are not. It's just like a really, it's probably just an experience of life experiences, some fiction, just some other people's lives, and just really wanting to make relatable characters that people can relate to because, you know, substance abuse is a huge issue here, especially in Kentucky. But do something like where you have that element of family, but you also have that healing element too, and just trying to find beauty and what most people consider their flaws, you know, and like facing their past and finding like beauty in that.
Very nice. Yeah. And
awesome. Thank you. Yeah.
And when did the book get released officially? When did it hit the streets? Because I know you got out.
It was actually, 2020 of this year is when we released it on Amazon, even though the first original copy of it was 2015, but it had some edits since then when I signed it with the publisher. But, it was April.
So this is, in a way, this is kind of like a relaunch. With, you know, and obviously it sounds like, you know, you had some more work done on the book for this version. Is that right?
Yeah. With this new publisher, I went in and put some more elements, and it evolved. I mean, I'm glad that there was that space, even though, you know, it was like 2015 when I first wrote it, because I grew since then. Things changed, and the book, I guess, evolved over the years as well.
Very good. And feel free to give shout-outs to publishers. We always want to celebrate good indie publishers out there. And so if you wanted to share anything about them, that would be wonderful because we love the publishing community.
Well, thank you. I'm signed with House of Glamorgan. And I have my editor, I think you and I share her, Stephen, at one point. It's Karen Leach. She's wonderful. If anyone wants any books edited, she has been with me since day one. She is amazing. Yeah.
No, she's edited some of my epic fantasy, so I can vouch for that personally. Yes, I call
Absolutely.
Her the Literary Commando. That's my name for her, the Literary Commando. And she is,
I like it.
She is thorough. She's a phenomenal editor and such a nice person.
She jumped in with boots on the beach, huh?
She did. the literary beach, absolutely. When you meet her, she's very, very, very mild mannered, and talks very, has a soft tone of voice, and but don't let that fool you. She's a lioness when it comes to the written word. I'll tell you. And she'll find stuff.
She
if
really
you, yeah,
is.
If you, if, yes, yeah, she'll watch your back as an editor, and she find, I know you know what I'm talking about. She will find stuff.
But I love to.
It's always
like,
that
hearing,
way, though.
We're
the
giving,
quiet ones are the ones
yeah.
that get you.
And I love
so
to,
true.
Since we're talking about Karen, I love how, she's to me, she's more than just an editor because she really takes the time to teach you. She's so passionate about, just the writing world and her work that she really wants to make sure that, you learn something, too, because I learned so much from, when I first started with her in 2015 until now. It made me a better writer by all means, for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
now, that is a hallmark of a good editor.
I'll be willing to challenge for then.
Yeah. But that's the hallmark of a good editor when you really
Absolutely.
Can recognize that you grew as a writer by working with them. And that's, I know when I'm working as an editor, that's one of the highest compliments I can get when I work with somebody is if they said, oh, yeah, I really feel like I grew, from working with you. I mean, that is awesome. And I definitely could say that about Karen. Yeah. So I'm excited. That's cool. I did not even realize that Karen was your editor on this one. So that is,
yes, she's wonderful.
That is fantastic. So how has the early response been? Because I know the indie book world is an odyssey, as RG, Daniel, and I can vouch for. But how has it gone as far as reviews, response, folks, getting back to you about it?
Yeah. It's been really good. We've had a surprising amount of good reviews. We've on Amazon, I think we're in 12 countries through the publisher, Book Depositories, picking some things up at Barnes & Noble's. We have some local stores like the Red Newt and Hazard and Five Star Cabin Rental and Slade. And then there's the Moonlight Pathways and Pikeville. So a lot of it's in Eastern Kentucky. Of course, the pandemic holds a lot of the momentum up, as far as getting out and talking to people. But we're getting a lot of positive feedback. We have a book trailer. If anyone wants to go to YouTube, you can type in Butterfly Secrets. And there's a book trailer that's a little bit more exciting than probably just hearing me talk about. But it's kind of like in a movie form because my husband, he's a director. Steven knows him well. And, so he did a book trailer for me with it.
I was going to say, I bet the trailer is not very, very nice compared to most book trailers. Because your husband is, I do know him, and his work is fantastic. I mean, he is a really top-notch
Thank
filmmaker,
you.
And that would be Charles Schaus. So I want to give him a definite shout-out. Check out his work. He's got some great web series and all kinds of stuff out there. So, check him out on all over. Yeah, he's great. He's been he's been featured in our film festival at Imaginarium before. So we are well familiar with his work for sure. And
so that goes back to the free labor that you guys were talking about. you asked the free labor where I can.
But it's kind of cool to have it's a kind of a dynamic that Holly and I have because we're both creatives. We both work together on a lot of projects together. But when you have that in under the same roof, though, it's got to be, there's definitely some good aspects to that. Yeah, cause as far as working together, as a husband and wife and being able to collaborate in some of those areas, that's got to be cool.
I would say, I guess we're the Chuck and Joanna of the film and book world, maybe.
Yeah.
Game.
Right. No, I know how it goes, so I do know.
Yeah.
we have a dynamic like that here at my house.
I love it.
Yeah, I know
it.
the But you did choose one of the most challenging years to release your debut novel, or reissue it. And so tools like the book trailer are helpful because, you know, obviously that's not going to get shut down like a lot of live events and things like that are, and a lot of stores having a lot of trouble, some areas mm-hmm. keeping open even. But have you had to shift your methods of outreach due directly to the pandemic? And if so, what kind of tools are you using for marketing? Because, it's always a question that our authors love hearing about.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's been virtual. I've done, podcasts. I've done some, Facebook Lives. I've done Zoom calls. I've done a lot of virtual book groups. I've done a lot of posts, sponsored ads, Instagram. Anywhere they'll have me, I'll go talk, basically, because you got to think outside the box, I think, with a lot of it, because you don't have that face-to-face interaction with people. And so you kind of got to be creative of how to reach people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know how it is. I mean, definitely know how it is. I mean, it's been an interesting dynamic having to shift to all video platforms this year as opposed to in person, which I know not all authors get thrilled about the in person, because a lot of authors and have an introvert aspect to themselves. But there is something about like I said, meeting your readers face to face. We do have also another the question came in the chat room that I wanted to ask you about poetry. From Clayton had just read the blurb on you. I guess he just checked out your website. He wanted to ask, have you read Sylvia Plath? And if so, what are your thoughts on Sylvia Plath?
I've read some of her work. I'm familiar with her, and I do like her work that I've read, but I'm not an avid fan, but I have read her work, and I'm familiar with her, of course, like everybody is, and she's an excellent writer.
Yeah, Clay is a very meticulous fellow, mm-hmm. so yeah, he'll always ask, he'll always try to figure something out about you.
Totally fine. And then to go back to your former question too of not getting to meet people face to face, and a lot of introvert. One of the things that I have missed about not getting to see people face to face, and I usually ask them if they on social media, they say they read the book or they liked it. What I love hearing as an author is what characters they relate to, because it's so diverse of which characters do people relate to. And when mm-hmm. you have readers that can identify with all the characters, even the villains, I just really I love hearing that part, is what characters did they like and seeing the differences among people. So I miss that about the face-to-face.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I ask those questions and everything, they give me the answer, my main character, I have the police alerted right away and stuff, so.
Well, let's give GL some context here. Daniel writes Jack the Ripper fiction, so just so you know.
Yep.
I love it.
And we still are not convinced that he actually is not Jack the Ripper. when you see him, he's the real deal. He wears the top hat and everything 24 hours a day. So.
I love it. A time traveler or very, very, very old.
Yeah, we theorize that he's about 200. Yeah, we think he's about 200.
I do not tell my real age anywhere, so.
Right. It's a mystery.
People have made guesses and everything. And, and
we did determine last week that you are somehow older than your mother, so.
Yeah, we figured that out last week. Yeah, it's like time space thing. It has to be, because Daniel actually is older than his own mother. So I have to wrap your head around that. But he gets around. Don't worry. Go ahead, RG. I've hogged a few questions here.
Oh, it's okay. No. Who do you name as your influences? That's one of my favorite questions.
I probably have several influences. A lot of them are like poets. I love poetry. I love to hear, you know, like so just the beauty of that. I really love an old Sufi poet called Rumi. I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's really good.
Yeah.
I love Maya Angelou. I love a lot of her work. I like Elizabeth Gilbert. What is so strange, like as far as books go, I read a lot of nonfiction, but I write fiction. That's really weird.
That's where
I go. Like for pleasurable reading, it's going to be more than likely nonfiction. But for writing, I like to embrace that creative element. And you know, it's a lot different from what I read and what I write are different. And of course, I love Stephen King. I love his books. I love Nicholas Sparks. There's some elements there. Mm. I love Dean Koontz. There's several.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Awesome. And where did the story originate? Does it spring from, like, is it autobiographical? Are there elements of that, or is this just kind of a what if?
You know, like just seeing like, seeing like substance abuse in this area, and it wasn't really based on any one person I need, so kind of using like that element, and then like the strong element of family, and just because I had a strong connection to my family too, and just kind of like maybe where all of us in one point of our life, you know, you want to break free from your family, and just taking like what if scenarios, but really wanting to bring that together and seeing where can we find the healing element of this. You know, I think at one point in their life, everybody's tried to run from things, their demons or shadows. But, like, really, how can we look at those and confront those and make them into something beautiful? And then it just kind of became, like, this story of what ifs and, you know, like, how can we have this healing and inspire people? Because overall, that's my goal. You know, I love to take people through the journey and, like, of life and characters where you have, like, you know, happy to sad, angry to, like, forgiveness and, like, the whole conundrum of that. But really just taking through, like, that life journey and then having, like, the healing, I really think that's important.
Yeah. And, it seems like a relevant topic, you know, with especially just talking about Hazard, Eastern Kentucky, and because I'm here in Kentucky, too. I'm on the western side of Lexington. And we lived just south of the border in Tennessee for a chunk of time, you know, right south of Bell County. So every time we came through, we went through Bell County and, you know, that area. And there's that whole, you know, there were so many young people who just desperately wanted to get out and, you know, like you said, go to the big city and just get away. But the returning back and finding healing not only for the person but for to bring something back to the community, I think is an important element.
Absolutely,
and
I would completely agree.
I love that story arc where, you know, kind of the you can't go home again kind of. I don't know. I'm not putting the right words on it, but I'm excited to know more about your story, basically.
All right. Well, thank you. And I mean, it's kind of the whole story encompasses like her grandmother's wisdom, who's passed away that she had a close relationship with, and there's some surprises there. But her grandmother tells her, you know, sometimes you got to break a heart to heal it. So it's like from that heartbreak, learning that healing and that whole process.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Cool.
Thank
you. What's the main character's name?
Well, her name is Amelia, but that was her name in the city, and then at home everybody calls her M because she's kind of like got that, you know, identity where she's trying to change, break away from her family, like have that anonymity in the city, start a new life, but doesn't work out so well for her.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I went to visit my brother in Atlanta several years ago now, but one of the things, because I've always, since we moved to Kentucky, we've always lived in a small town. I mean, we've moved around, but we've always lived in a small town. And so I went to visit him in Atlanta, and, like, I did not, other than him and his wife, I did not see the same person twice. Like, we went to various events, you know, and I was like, this is wild. Like, how do you know who your friends are?
and that's funny you say that, because in the book, you know, that's so funny that you say that, because I can definitely relate. you know, when she's home, mm-hmm. like, she knows everybody there. Everybody knows yeah. her business. They know her parents, grandparents. And in yep. the city, she kind of knows no one, and she keeps, like, to herself. So, I mean, it really does mm-hmm. show, like, the differences between the two worlds. Yeah.
I love it. And there's Thank pros you. And cons to both. You know, I'm not knocking
yeah.
any one or the
no,
other.
not at all. No, she just, you know, yeah. she... But then she finds the beauty when she goes back home, too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that is
yeah.
definitely different there, the two places for her.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you.
Have you seen the movie Garden State?
I've not, but it's I really
a,
want to see it. I've not watched it yet.
Yeah. Okay, it's Zach Braff and Natalie Portman. And, of course, Natalie Portman is incandescent, she as always.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of got the whole, you know, going back home and, you know, there's a tragedy, you know, Zach Braff is the main character and he has to confront things about himself and yeah, I mean, it's completely different because it takes place in New Jersey, but you know, I'm as you're talking about the story, I'm thinking about that and several other stories, you know, as well.
I love
and,
that.
And
I'll have to check it out.
Yeah,
I love Natalie.
I really like that.
Yeah, thank you.
But I recommend it to everyone, not just, yeah, to everyone.
Yeah, I was just commenting in the chat room that I have not seen that yet. And I kind of figured out
good.
Where it was
yeah.
based on the title. Because, yeah, you said Garden State because my father's side of the family comes from Jersey, so I'm quite used to that.
Okay.
But it's, that's cool, huh? I need to
yeah.
catch up. I hate missing good movies. Yeah, so many slipped
oh,
by me.
Too.
And
the
latest
yeah.
one was Blade Runner 2049, and I am kicking
yes,
myself for
I haven't
not
seen
having
that
watched
either.
That. Yeah, I am mad at myself for not watching it when it came out. So
yeah.
after
yeah.
seeing it.
Hey,
and Holly agrees, too. She
I
loved it, too.
Yet.
Yeah, Holly and I just
and
absolutely
speaking
loved
of movies,
it. But,
yeah, and speaking of movies, I mean, if you're going to compare this book to movies, I would say it's a lot like, it's got a lot of the elements of Where the Heart Is that had Ashley Judd and Natalie Portman in it, come to think of it.
Okay.
Has a lot of elements, yeah, a Safe Haven
yeah.
and probably Hope Floats. It's kind of got that kind of
okay.
small town theme. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. And,
cool.
Well, let's shift a little bit into your work, because I think this is also fascinating, too. A life and spiritual coach, and you have an international body of clients, as I saw on your write-up. And that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What all is entailed as a life and spiritual coach?
Thank goodness that I have virtual access with the pandemic. But it's a lot just like a holistic health of like mind, body, and soul. You know, I have about a background as a counselor, like a mental health counselor. So I did a lot of that. I did that for 10 years. I have the drug prevention counselor and substance abuse suicide prevention counselor. And then just like I'm also a certified reverend, so I have that as well, ordained reverend.
Nice.
And then I have and I'm also a trained Reiki master that's like energy healing.
Oh, wow.
You know,
oh, cool.
That. So it works
yeah.
like with the body and the chakras. So basically it's just like the mind, body, and soul with people. And, you know, like I said, I read like a lot of nonfiction self-help books, a lot of that, just to try to inspire
mm-hmm.
people, help them, give them easy health tips for like the whole holistic approach of healing and, you know, whether it's their diet or just spiritual help or mental or emotional, because I can just kind of use all the everything
mm-hmm.
that I've learned for my professional life and experience to try to help them along. And I've got people in
wow.
India, Australia, Kentucky, all across, you know, all different walks of life. And I love that, you know, it's so diverse of people that I get. That's one of the things I love. And, you know, with the book, too, is just that diversity of people from all walks of life. I think that's really cool.
That's awesome.
That's amazing, yeah.
And don't underestimate holistic.
2020 is keeping
you busy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But I was going to say, though, that the holistic approaches should never be underestimated, because honestly, that's the only thing we had to turn to, Holly and I, when we had the COVID infections back in March to April of this year. And basically, you know, when the doctors all look at you and say, oh, you got it. And well, we've got nothing to give you for treatment. Absolutely nothing. But you call us if you're turning blue. Literally, that's basically what they told us. That's what the health department literally said that. Yeah, they said, well, don't call unless you have, you know, you start to turn blue. So I was like, okay, turning into a Smurf, I can call for help then. Okay, great. But the point is that all we had to turn to was, you know, holistic elements to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I will swear on anything that's the only reason Holly didn't have to go to hospital. And that's mm-hmm. what kept her out of it. And all the different things that we made use of. And so, it's definitely a area that fascinates me. And I think that is very, I think, underappreciated or underestimated in the mainstream. And I know that, you know, that's something I'm glad to have you on the show to talk a little bit about that, because that's, people, you know, they don't, you know, necessarily realize that there's a lot to it, and it is effective in the right instances, for sure.
Yeah, and I also am a certified aromatherapist, so I work, like, with essential oils, things like that, you know, just different things that we can work with, yeah.
Well, now if you say Reiki and essential oils, Holly is going to be so upset that she wasn't joining tonight. These are like all of her topics.
You know how to reach me, Stephen.
This is her passion. I mean, yes, she loves this stuff. Sorry, RG, but yeah, Holly would go crazy.
No, I was going to say I got turned on to aromatherapy my first pregnancy with my daughter, the last trimester of my first pregnancy. I was just basically angry all the time. You know, where you get that stage in your pregnancy where you're just like, nope, I'm done. I hate everything. I hate everybody. Get out of my face. And the only thing that, like, cut through that was lavender. And, I mean, I kept a sachet on me. I kept a little diffuser, a little, like, spray diffuser. And that was literally the only thing. And it just normalized me. Like, it didn't even make me, like, happy. It just normalized me so I could function. Yeah, so... But yeah,
when your husband comes up to you and
that,
you say,
so.
Oh, you see what you did to me?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It does work. And now they have, like, little things, like a little watch, and it's like a little pad that you can wear, and you put, like, the oil there so you can wear it around with you, which is great.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I have, like, a collection at my house. Like, a very,
I love it.
You know, the lemon, the citrus. The sandalwood, the lavender. Oh yeah, we've got everything. We got the tea tree. It's great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, "Where do you get tea tree oil?" And I was like, "What? You don't have tea tree oil at your house?" And she was like, "What even is it?" I was like, "Oh my gosh."
Yeah, they Daniel. Let's see. Clayton wants to know Daniel's thoughts on aromatherapy. I want to hear this.
Me too.
Yes, Daniel.
On aromatherapy, I believe in it actually, because my wife has to use. She has a real bad problem with other scents, so she uses mint oil to counteract.
Oh, okay.
The other scents that she can't be around, like perfumes and stuff like that people have. She has, it bothers her real bad and everything on that, so she uses mint oil for that. But as far as me using aromatherapy, I've used some of it. If I went in for a massage or something like that, but as far as anything else, I don't use that. I use a lot of herbs and different things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But little bit of poppy bulbs, you know, different things like that that you grow in the garden and stuff. So
There you go.
I love it. And it all works. It's
nice,
effective.
Yeah.
Holly, we have a diffuser in our bedroom.
Surprising answers.
Yeah, depending on, you never know what you're going to get. Daniel, go ahead, Darby. What'd you say? Go ahead and say it again.
What's that? Me?
Oh, go ahead and say what you said. Daniel missed what you said there.
Oh.
She's not going to say it. Arjun, okay.
I'm sorry.
Oh, she's not going to say it.
What did I say? Oh, I said Daniel coming out with a surprise answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He
sorry.
Always does.
Go ahead.
What was
I'm
surprising
sorry.
About it? We used all
nothing,
sorts of things
nothing
back
at all.
In my days.
It's exactly what I thought.
Well, he's the one that shows up to bourbon tastings, finding bourbons that taste like scotch. So,
That's true.
You never know what to expect
That's
with Daniel.
True.
Never know what to expect with Daniel. And,
I want to make sure that you learn things around me.
That's great.
Well, we always do.
You need
I
to learn
that.
From your elders.
Never a dull moment. But what I was going to say is that Holly, it's amazing the different effects that you get. Like when she runs different essential oils in our diffuser, and you just absolutely could tell the differences in the various oils that she uses for a night or something like that.
Yeah.
It is wild. And I didn't know a lot when I met Holly about essential oils, but I'm telling you, I'm at this point absolutely a believer because I've experienced it from she makes. She makes skin products as well, and stuff that works 10 times better than Neosporin for healing, and she's
Absolutely.
Got stuff that's like bug guard stuff that works far better than the chemical crap in the stores. And it's amazing what essential oils can do. It is absolutely incredible.
Peppermint, for instance, you can apply it topically and you can help headaches, sore muscles, help improve mental clarity. And it's within just minutes that you can see instant results. So it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you've all inspired
like I said,
the cat
my wife
because Albie just came bounding in here and leaped off the bed. Oh, sorry.
And
she's had a dramatic cat moment.
It cures her headaches and stuff like that she gets from people that think that they need to dip themselves into the, into a barrel of perfume and stuff.
Yeah.
Just because you can't smell it anymore doesn't mean the rest of the world can't. Don't apply more.
Yep. Well, tell me a little bit, if you don't mind, tell me a little bit about the Reiki healing. I've read a lot about it, give me like the elevator pitch on what's involved with that, if you can.
Well, Reiki, it is an energetic system of healing. It works like with chakras in your body. It's a Sanskrit word for like wheels or energy centers. You can't see them, but there's seven of them. And it basically affects like your mental, your physical, emotional, and spiritual health. And so like you have all these chakras that affect those part of your body, like your physical health, all that. And then you just work with those. You can, like you're attuned to those or trained in those, and you can pick up where the healing is like needed in the body or where energy needs to be applied. Okay. So I guess the best way to explain it would be like, I don't know, like if you've heard of people like in Appalachia or whatever, of like where they lay hands on people or like those kind of healers. Yeah. It's similar to that. It's just called Usai Reiki. It comes out of Japan. It's thousands of years old, and it's just attuning you to those energy centers in the body, just like with healing. And there's like seven of them, and they can be off balance or misaligned. Mm-hmm. But they're used like Cleveland Clinic does Reiki on their vets a lot, like with PTSD.
Yeah.
Dr. Oz, his wife does those. So they're using it a lot more. It's becoming a lot more mainstream than it used to be in the past.
And that's interesting because I see it more like if with different clinics and you know, like I hate to use this word, but like it's becoming quite legitimate and in a lot of circles, it seems like.
I kind of
believe in all that stuff anyways, and it's just nice to see it that it's more accepted in wider circles.
Yeah, and it is, and, you know, it's all natural, just like you have the essential oils. There's no side effects. Mm-hmm. You know, it can you can have it for, like, calm, producing energy when people have surgery. You could do it before they could go into surgery or after, or, like, you know, like, say they had lower back pain or kidney pain, that could be an imbalance of, like, their root chakra, which is located, like, at the base of their spine. So it's just all these energy centers or meridians that, you know, like, connect with the body, just much like you would have, like, with acupuncture or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But you don't have a needle. So that's good.
Right, thing. Yeah. That's so cool.
Thank you.
Oh, it is. But
so do you read auras, too, or are you into that?
I don't read auras, Daniel.
How just often asking. Do you get asked that question?
I only read books. That's it. Books and road signs, probably.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've ever felt an aura or not, but the energy that comes off of the body when you're working with that, if they have something negative going on in their brain, it will hurt your arms and hands and everything.
Yeah. And that's what will happen a lot. Like when I do Reiki, I don't see an aura, but I can feel like the energy. So, like, say that you had like a lower back problem, like when I started working on you with Reiki, because, you know, so you're kind of using your hands there. Then in my back, I would get like a back problem or pain there, and that's how I can tell people like that's where their pain is, or like if it was arm or whatever, because people use it differently. Some people's hands get really hot. Other people can kind of feel like where the pain is. Like you can feel that through like the, like you said, coming from the body, that energy. But that's one of the ways that I do that. Like when I'm working on someone, if that pain comes, I know that's where the area that needs to be worked on.
It was like one girl I was working with at one time. I didn't know it, and she had seen one of her best friends kill themselves.
Oh, wow. My goodness.
And the pain that was coming off of her through her aura, my arms just ached all the way up to my shoulders, absorbing that.
Wow.
Energy and stuff through my arms.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask, GL, we talked a little bit about all the cool things that you're, you know, involved in and have expertise in and do. Working with a lot of clients and I mean, I'm sure, you know, you've had a lot of experience, a lot of different personal situations and all. Was that able, and how was that helpful to you in writing your main character and, you know, the elements in Butterfly Secrets, you know, tying it both those worlds there, the writing and your experiences?
I think, you know, especially with my dream scenes in the book, they're pretty intense. A lot of things happen there. You know, she has like prophetic dreams, things like that. And probably all my life I've had really vivid dreams, so it was easy for me to go into that realm. And I'm also, I don't know if anybody's into the zodiac signs, but I'm also a Pisces, which just kind of makes, you know, like that creativity and dream world more vivid to me. But then just kind of like, you know, with everybody's experiences too. And then, you know, I'm very compassionate towards other people, and I'm sure that, like, you know, all my life pretty much I've just put myself in other people's shoes. I see their pain and just think, you know, what if that were me? What if I was the one who had this going on, or, you know, lost this person, even hearing, like, with my clients in the professional world, my own experiences or whatever. So I really just try to put myself in everybody's shoes that I see, and really make it an effort that everybody that comes in my life, you know, is there for a reason. I probably have something to teach them. They have something to teach me, and just try to really put myself in their shoes.
Very nice.
Have you read the Celestine Prophecy?
Yes, and I love it. See, that's another one of those that I read a lot of those self-help books, and I really love the Celestine Prophecy. I read The Four Agreements.
Did you read all of them?
Ruiz. Yes.
Yeah. Those and, you know, what was it, talking to God?
Mm-hmm.
Or speaking with God? I've got some of those in there too.
The names totally slipped my mind right now, but I know who you're talking about.
You know what,
but this totally slipped my mind. Yeah, I totally do. I just can't think of his name right now. He's a Hay House author, I think. But it slipped my mind, Daniel. I can't think of the name that I think that you're talking about.
Celestine Prophecies Renfield. I cannot remember the other one's name right now. But
I can't either. That's what I was talking about, that I can't remember his name.
Carlos Castaneda's books and, mm-hmm. you know, some of the older ones from back, you know, a few years, you know, go, like Nostradamus and stuff like that. Some of my buddies from times back.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I love all those. I really, you know, like I read pretty much a plethora of self-help. I've probably read about from all different ones. I really like those different perspectives. And I cannot think of the name of the author you're talking about with the other one, but I know who you're talking about. It's totally slipped my mind right now.
Yeah, I wish I could help. I do not know the answer either.
I know. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't.
Yeah, it's one of those.
I can't think of what. Yeah.
Well, I know.
Yeah. It'll probably be
I know it's
the
not
show.
Scott Cunningham. Because I used to read a lot of Scott Cunningham's books, too, but I know it's not him.
Neil Donald Walsh. I think that's who you're talking about. Is that who you're talking about? Neil Donald Walsh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just looking in there.
Thank you.
Great books. Did
we miss it?
Because I went brain dead. You know, when I was in the middle of the question, I went brain dead. I'm like, I don't even remember.
It happens.
I don't remember the title of the damn book now. So what, how am I going to ask this question? You know, all the way through.
It happens. Oh, it happens.
I had it in my mind. It went zing.
And you'll remember it clearly 2 minutes after the show ends. That's how it always works.
Absolutely.
I swear. but no, it's good. You know, yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely a good discussion area as far as those type of books. I'm interested in those too, as a matter of fact. So, yeah, I always like getting some recommendations there. But,
yeah, and they're really good.
I'll let you read some of my Crowley books, Stephen.
What's that?
I'll let you read some of my Crowley books.
I figure you probably have signed first editions that you got personally signed. Archie.
Time travel.
Archie, you were saying something right when Daniel had made that point.
Oh, what? It's gone.
It's gone.
It's okay.
All
It'll
right.
be back in a minute. RG, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know. Well, the show will
just
be over by
then. Just blurt
it
out when it hits you again.
Yeah. Well, we've definitely gotten to explore butterfly secrets quite a bit, and I hope that I put your link to your website in the chat room, so I hope everybody checks that out for sure. But I wanted to ask you, what's on the plate for you as far as writing projects? Can you give us a little scoop or insight into what you have either ongoing or planned in the near future writing-wise as far as your next project?
I have many, as always. They're at different stages of development. Probably the one that I'm working on most consistently right now is by request, and it's going to be called Butterfly Dreams. It's going to be the book two of the Butterfly series, so I'm working on that. Then I also have a book called Unconditional that I've been working on, and that is about an interracial relationship back in slave times there and the healing with that. And then I have another one that I'm working on that's kind of like another Southern romance book. So I've always got something in the works. Oh, and then I have another one kind of like a futuristic one. It's called like The Wall, and it's like that like healthcare is kind of like something that you always can't get. And it's kind of like it's like futuristic where they've got all these people who are kind of like bioengineered in a lab, like, you know, and they're all isolated from the rest of the world, and like healthcare, you have to win by a lottery. So, I mean, I have like a lot of different projects going on.
That's futuristic.
Okay, that may not be that far off.
Let's say this, Daniel. I'll say this. I wrote it about 2 years ago, too.
Some people actually get the
healthcare. Karen, you win healthcare with a lottery? That's about right.
That's about right. That part's true. And the bioengineering.
About 3 years ago. Yeah, I started that about 3 years ago, and it's become more true to life than I anticipated.
Yep, because they can already sit there and take, you know, eggs and everything and change the chromosomes and everything, put them in the mother and have, like, the perfect baby, you know, if you want blonde hair, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And the DNA, they've already figured out how to do all that stuff, so.
Yeah.
Right. Well, let's hope that that's not in the immediate future. Yeah, as far as the next, at least 2021. Let's get at least a decent year. Let's have at least one good year. Yeah, after 2020, let's at least have one good year, folks. But no, that's awesome, and I love the fact you're writing in different genres, because that's that's creatively, I think, a healthy thing to do sometimes, especially, you know, I know some people are very comfortable in writing just one genre. That's perfectly fine. But, yeah, it's as a writer, I think it is nice to be able to kind of go play in different playgrounds, so to speak. And does that keep you creative? The vibes going creatively for you in working in totally different genres like that?
Yeah, and I like to stretch myself, you know, and try to challenge myself into new genres. And, you know, I'll admit, I went into some genres and think, I'm going to try it, and then think, oh, I do not need to try this, you know. But I just like to try it and see what happens. Yeah.
Well, just cool. Do like I do. I work in several different genres and everything. I just put them all into one story.
And this one too, I mean, this book here, Butterfly Secrets, it fits many genres. It's, you know, mystery, thriller, suspense, romance, psychic thriller, small town, rural. I mean, so there's just many elements in it thrown in there, probably a lot of genres. I've had people that said, you know, they thought it might be a romance book and they don't read that, but then they saw the mystery thriller side, then some people liked it for the romance. So, it's very versatile.
Yeah, when I read the write-up, I thought cross-genre fiction immediately. And, I mean, it's a and I think that is something that, you know, has been a big part of the literary world in recent years, where people are kind of pulling together different genres into their stories. Definitely. I mean, I think you guys agree.
Most people are drawn to mine because of it being more like a kid's book and stuff like that, so.
Right. Yeah, children's book, sure.
Yeah, and you know, think about it, like, I like writing books, you know, that are true to life, characters that are relatable, and if you think about it, life's across genres, you know? So, I mean, in life, we have all those genres that we experience, so, yeah.
Yep. That's true. Yeah, except some days it feels like I'm in a horror genre.
2020 is definitely in the horror genre.
But I know what you mean. All kidding aside, yeah, I know what you mean, and it is good because it also encourages you to draw from a different parts of different toolboxes, you know, draw things that are strengths of the mystery genre, draw strengths that are strengths of the thriller genre, or, you know, or romance, you know, and pulling them together.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. And that's actually the reason, you know, I always, you know, have had Imaginarium be an all genre event, is precisely because folks can learn from each other. You know, the mystery writer can learn from the fantasy writer and vice versa. I mean, there are strengths in each genre, and when you pull them together in a cross-genre story, I mean, you've got a lot to play with, absolutely. And then your background, you know, drawing off what you know and have experienced in your areas of expertise. You know, when you pull all that together under one roof, I mean, it makes for Butterfly Secrets, right? Perfect.
There you go.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
Now, but I was remembering like 20 some odd years ago when I was taking creative writing classes in college, you know, pre-millennium, they said the number one rule was know your genre.
Mm-hmm.
And that's completely different now. You know, they said, yeah, you know, yeah, you want to do like a romance monster book, but you can't do that. You can't market a cross-genre book. And now, like you said, with the advent of indie publishing and just the freedom that we have in the market right now, I think it has given, you know, opened the door to cross-genre, and I think it's flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I
well,
would agree.
Most of the old ways of doing things like that, where you couldn't, you mm-hmm. know, it had like it has to follow this pattern, or it's
yeah.
not a good book or not a good story. Well,
right, mm-hmm.
all those leashes have been taken off of people with being able to self-publish and do different things like that, and people realized, are all of a sudden that, hey, there's other ways of writing a story out here that makes a great story. Why haven't we been doing this all this time?
Right. Yep.
And, you know, now you've got, you know, the problem with the movies and everything that they don't, in my opinion, I love independent movies because of the fact that they're doing
yeah.
the same thing with movies, where they're
yeah,
taking
exactly.
all the restrictions
yeah.
off of it. And they're using new work. They're not using, you know, they're not remaking, you know,
the next
the
10
20th,
Marvel movies.
You know, or Jason, you know, Jason 2035,
yeah.
you know.
Friday the 47th.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. Yeah, I love the freedom of it. I really do, because I do agree with you for sure that they, you know, they just keep remaking the same
yeah.
movies. My husband, he's a director, and he's just like, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's all the Hollywood does is just keep making the same
mm-hmm.
old movies, and that does get
oh,
frustrating.
Tell me
you know?
About
and,
oh, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, and you know, like I said, I have an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old, and so I have seen all the Marvel movies.
Me too.
And they are entertaining, but there is a clear line sometimes between entertainment and art.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it overlaps,
you can
formula,
be,
but not
no,
always.
You know?
You can be entertained
yeah.
by the wreck on the side of the interstate.
Well,
but,
that's
you know,
true.
Is
that's
it
true.
Art?
True.
Yeah, and yep. you know, the Marvel and the commercialized movies, they all have a formula that sells, and a lot of times
mm-hmm.
I think you don't
yeah.
get the true artistry from, you know, like, you know, the indie movies. I would totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Which
and,
brings me in one of the other things. Stephen, when he introduced you, said something about you work with movies and stuff like that. Do you act
mm-hmm.
any or
oh,
do anything
no.
like that with your husband?
My husband directs. My son, he does act. He's been acting since he's like 3 years old. I do. I have written like some screenplays. I tried my hand at that. I mean, it's not my favorite, but like I said, I wanted to, you know, see
mm-hmm.
what I could do there. But yeah, I mean, I just mostly there to help him. Like my husband also does like the screenplay writing, and I'm there to bounce ideas and characters off of. But I, you know, I just more like a novels and things like that and poetry that I love the most. But yeah. I'm behind the scenes
so
with the
cool.
movies.
You're behind the scenes? Behind
yeah.
the scenes? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a question
what,
for you.
What is one of the movies that your husband is working on now?
He
or is
just
he?
Finished, yeah, he is working on something. He just finished it. It was actually with my former job that I did. I do PR now at the company I'm at. But it was basically how I got the idea for it. Are you guys familiar with Netflix 13 Reasons Why that was on there? That was a big series episode.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, basically after that, because, you know, I did before with my other job, I did, like, suicide prevention, and actually they did studies after that show. There was kids, like, as young as 8 years old binge-watching it, and then after, like, the series, they were finding that they were, like, Googling how to complete suicide, things like that, suicidal ideation, all this things just rose, like, after the series, because kids were young, they were binge-watching it, and mentally, you know, they just couldn't handle that. So what I did is had the idea to create, like, a
What was the series about? I don't know anything about
13 it. 13 Reasons Why. It's on Netflix, and it's basically, like, this girl, she feels wronged by her classmate, so she completes suicide, and she writes these tapes to her classmate to, like, how they did her wrong and all that. It was very identifiable to, like, a lot of kids, but, you know, it was just very intense, very graphic scenes of suicide and violence. So from that, I got an idea to do, like, a statewide series to have the relatability that you have with the 13 Reasons Why. I have kids on board. Like, we got youth all across the state who came on board, and they told us their views. You know, is this relatable to you? Would this really happen? And then we did, like, drug prevention, suicide prevention. Basically have all those themes that 13 Reasons Why had, but put, like, safety nets and things in their resources to help those kids.
Yeah.
So that when they watched it, you know, hopefully the takeaway is, and there's a curriculum that's going to come out with it, is that, you know, they would have these situations, but they'd have the proper tools and resources and relatability. So it's called The Pact, and it's a 12-part series that'll hopefully be out sometime next year, and it's supposed to be released statewide. So it's kind of like off of 13 Reasons Why, but it's like, if you had 13 Reasons Why and it was done the right way and you did it responsibly, you know, can we help kids? Can we have that same effect on kids, but can we turn that around and do it in a positive way? So that's what Charles is working on. I had the idea for it, and then, you know,
Very cool.
So there we go. Thank you.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I hated to bring your husband into this and everything because, you know, we're here interviewing you, but, you know,
No, it's totally fine.
Great stories about things like that too. So,
no, that's totally fine, and I'm sure he will enjoy the plug. So it's okay.
Do you see a future for Butterfly Secret in screen form?
Absolutely. You know, that's my hope. I'm shopping it around. That is my hope. You know, I hope everybody goes to YouTube, sees the trailer, so you can kind of get an idea of what it would look like, you know, on film. That's my dream. I'm hoping that one day it will be directed and on film. Yeah.
Awesome.
So is it on how is it on YouTube? What's it titled under?
If you just go to YouTube and you type in Butterfly Secrets GL Blackhouse, it should come up. And I should be able to post a link here in the chat, so I'll try to do that too. So you guys can
watch
you.
It. That's you. Everyday Empowerment.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's you.
Yeah, so let me. And I'm not a technology wizard. I'm a writer. Technology's not my thing, but let me see if I can get that there. And I would love for everybody to watch it. Hopefully you'll like it. And I'm hoping to have some more trailers out on it soon. And
sure.
Really excited about it.
Everybody that's in the chat room right now, I want to challenge you to go to her Amazon page and write a review about 13 or about butterflies right now.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Let's get this out there.
I'll put the link there, too. Yes. Thank you.
And I will get that shared on our channels. Yeah, I'll get that shared on our channels. And, Clayton, actually, he brought up a good point, too, while we're talking about book trailers as well. This is something we haven't asked you yet, and it's something that, I do see a lot of growth in the indie world. This is one of the very positive areas of indie book publishing, but as he's been asked about with his work, do you have an audio book? Is there one
yet
for Butterfly Secrets?
Yeah, actually, I have a lady who's working on that now. Again, back to the thing of, you know, I'm used to the indie world, the movie industry of trying to get free labor where you can. And there's a friend of mine, she had worked on a state series that we had done called iGirl. She did the voiceover on that actually won some Telly Awards that Charles did. But she is the voice of Amelia on that, and now she's like a surgeon, so she doesn't have a lot of time, but she's working through that, and she's the perfect voice for Amelia. We got about 10 more chapters to go, and then we'll have that out soon. Uh-huh. So, yeah, the audiobook's going to be soon.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because that's one area of the book publishing world that's not oversaturated. And I mean, there's good things and bad things about there being less gatekeepers than before. One of the bad things is there's just simply a overload of content out there in the book world. Audiobooks, however, is not yet flooded. So I mean, that's definitely a good area to be in. And with ACX and Audible having, you know, at least some pretty stringent, you know, quality controls. I mean, people tend to trust trying an indie author out more so than they might even in book form, oddly enough, just because they know that, you know, there is a vetting of sorts, at least on the production side.
Yeah.
So,
and I think a lot of people are into audiobooks now, too. I mean, I know, you know, I read, obviously, but I also like audiobooks because you can multitask. You can listen to them while you're driving, cleaning, you know, you can multitask, and it's a busy world now.
Yep.
So.
I keep an audiobook going in my car basically every time I'm driving.
Me too.
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking in here to see if we're missing any questions. We do have one. I did want to get in about your 12 part series that you were talking about. Does it have an application in business as well as schools, or
ooh,
I guess as you meant for adults?
Well, actually, what we're doing right now, like I said, it's a statewide project. We've got some international interest right now, but what we're trying to do, we're going to have the curriculum so the kids can use it, but we're also looking, like, at treatment centers, substance abuse centers, a part for, like, parents to use, like the community educators. So all those elements are coming together. All the series have been already done and all things like that. It's just trying to get all the elements together. Gets together. Charles, if you go to his page, Charles Schaus, he'll have the pack somewhere on there. I can get him to post that again, and you can see some of those trailers. Everything's been edited. We just can't officially release it to the public, to the curriculum, and all that's done. But, yeah, I mean, we're going to look at treatment centers, military academies for kids, things like that, because there's a high rate of suicide for the military population as well.
Is this a personal 501c3?
No, it is actually, we've, you know, done this through the state and state funding, and they've used federal dollars. So it was like with my old job, because I did like suicide, alcohol, tobacco, other drug prevention. So it really addresses like opioids, human trafficking, just drug addiction, things like that. And it was mostly geared towards like youth, because there's high rates there, but then also like on the effects of the family, things like that.
Well, I am glad that I want to say though personally, thank you for doing stuff that helps in like I said, suicide prevention. Because I mean, you know, I personally have had several, you know, even childhood friends, you know, that I've lost to that. So I've, you know, definitely sensitive to that. And this year, I mean, unfortunately, we've seen a very significant uptick just due to the weirdness and negative kind of energy of 2020. And I was reading an article on it the other day, just the uptick. And I'm very, very happy that you're one of the frontline folks in the fight against that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It's a passion of mine.
It.
You know, it's really a passion. And especially our youth, you know, just giving them tools that they need to deal with, you know, topics of today's society, things they have to deal with that we didn't, you know, at that age.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine growing up today. Oh, man.
No, I wouldn't want to.
I
wouldn't want to. I have a 16-year-old, and I would not want to be in his shoes.
I mean, I'm older, but I don't consider myself old. I'm older. But life in the 80s and early 90s was light years less in things being bombarded on you than there are for the kids today. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just a different ballgame.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm glad I'm glad we have the internet now, and I'm also glad we didn't have the internet then.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely the difference. One of my friend's sons, I think he definitely summed it up in a nutshell. He said, you know, when you were young, all you had to deal like with bullying was like your community or neighborhood. He's like, we literally can be bullied by the whole world because they have the web, you know,
yeah.
and people
yeah.
post that. So they just have bigger problems than what we did.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, I definitely, but thank you, though, for definitely for doing that. And as far as we're getting down
You're
to
welcome.
About
Thank
5.5 minutes, so I want to make sure that folks, you did post in the chat room, at least the YouTube link to the trailer, but for the folks listening, I definitely want to give you a chance to tell folks where they can find you, social media contacts, website, anything you want to give the folks to find you.
Okay, well, I actually have a website. They can find me at butterflysecretsbook.com.
Okay,
and
excellent.
There's books there. There's information
cool.
about me. You can order the book there. And then, of course, you can find the book at Amazon. It's at Barnes & Noble's. Right now, actually, Amazon has, I think, like 54% off. You can buy the paperback for like $11 and something, and the Kindle for like $9.99. So it's
nice.
A really nice sale right now at Amazon for a paperback. Or you can order directly from me, and you can get a signed copy with a personal message. So either way is fine with me. But you can find me at both.
Yeah. Amazon has weird pricing, I'm telling you. It's sometimes I have found copies of my own book that are
mm-hmm.
less on Amazon than I literally can get them priced at wholesale. I mean, it's like literally.
That,
I mean,
yeah,
it,
that's with my book right now. My book right now.
Cannot order them through Ingram under any circumstance less than what Amazon's charging for it. And I just kind of like, I jump aboard and I buy them.
$376 at one time.
Yeah.
And I'm
I'll jump aboard. I just buy them. Well, when they're that low, I just kind of hit click and buy. Yeah, that's my what I'm building up stock for the next book show. Yeah,
there you go.
That's time to do
that's
it.
What I thought.
Cheaper than wholesale.
Yeah.
It is, yeah.
Too funny though.
Yeah.
Too funny. But okay, what is coming up next for you as far as virtual events? Any other activity? I mean, yeah, I know there's probably not a lot of in person stuff, but do you have some online stuff you like to promote at this time, or anything coming up?
You know, just
schedule-wise?
Like the book sale at Amazon, I had that going on. I'm probably going to try to do mm-hmm. some events, some virtual events at the Red Newt and Hazard, Kentucky. They're going to have some events, but we're just in discussion with that. So, you know, I'm open to anything. I'd love to come talk about the book, talk, you know, just about life, all that. But, yeah, you can find me on Amazon and butterflysecretsbook.com, and I'll be probably on some virtual book groups, but just discussions right now.
Cool. And we are going to have you on the Seventh Star blog in one of our indie author spotlights. That should be next
awesome.
Week, as
Thank
a matter
you.
Of fact. So cool. We should have you on that next week. And so look out for that, folks, because indie author spotlights really do get into the writing element of writers, various writers, and really get you into their style and personal approaches. So, yeah, check that out next week on the Seventh Star blog. And so is there anything else that we have not covered that you were hoping to promote and cover tonight? Want to make sure we don't miss anything.
I had a great time. I mean, I think it was a fun show. You guys kept me laughing. I mean, it was a great show, and I felt very welcome. Thanks to the viewers who tuned in. I love their questions, and I really appreciate you guys giving me the opportunity to be here tonight.
We appreciate you being here, hon.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely do. Yeah, definitely do. I've been wanting to get you on some stuff. I said, get past the Imaginarium avalanche, and then we can get some stuff going. But here we are.
And tell Holly to reach out to me, Stephen. We'll talk essential oils and Reiki and all that.
she was actually listening, and she's already giving me like all these gestures that indicate that I guarantee you're going to hear from her. you are speaking her language. So
sounds
yeah,
great.
She, like I said, she's getting feisty again, so I bet you'll hear from her pretty soon.
I'll look forward to it.
She's going to thank you, and Reiki Steve over the coals when he gets off the phone.
Oh, I see. Usually I'm the punny one. Usually I'm the punny one, but yeah, Daniel got me there.
You,
oh, man.
I finally hit you before you got one out, Stephen.
That's nice. That's a Holly pun, too. That's awesome. I'll have to tell her about that. But Daniel Dark got me. But well, I'll go ahead and I'll sign off. And then GL, you go ahead and give your end of show statement. And then RG and Daniel take us out. But this is Stephen Zimmer from the Star Chambership Live podcast. And we will see you next week at 9 p.m. Eastern for another exploration of the creative world. Take care, everyone, and have a great evening.
Thank you so much, everyone. This is GL Blackhouse. Please find me at butterflysecretsbook.com. Everybody have a great evening.
And as always, you can find me at rgwesterman.com. We'll see you next time. Thanks for being here.
And as always, for the best in creatives around the world, meet us next week on the Star Chamber. Y'all have a good and creative week. This is Daniel Dark signing off.